Chapter 16.
My companions and I remounted our steeds with smiles all around, and even the horse-like creatures we rode seemed to feel more exuberant than they had before. The challenge of gathering the ingredients was behind us, and soon we would be able to heal the victims of the potion's opposition effect. It was a bright day in all the land, and we were all eager to return to our new home to share the news.
"Where is the potion maker you reference?"
May asked as we rode to the east.
"Imprisoned in the Clover Fortress,"
Una explained with a solemn expression.
"I know the location,"
May supplied in a cheerful tone.
"Shall we go fetch her?"
"Soon," I said, and I held up my hands to caution patience. "We need to make sure the people of New Haven did okay while we were gone. Once New Haven is taken care of, we can plan our next quest."
"I very much enjoyed this quest. I would like to travel with you more in the future."
"I feel the same way," I grinned. "The more the merrier, I always say."
"Alex!"
Una suddenly hissed in a low voice, and she gestured to something behind me.
"Look over there!"
My head swiveled in the direction she'd pointed to, and my breath froze in my chest when I saw the nightmare lurking in the shadows of the forest. The dark hooded figure was hovering through the trees, but it didn't seem like it had noticed us yet. "Let's move," I whispered, and I clucked my tongue to my steed as quietly as I could. Our mounts were tense as we trotted away from the nightmare, and I kept shooting glances over my shoulder to make sure we weren't being followed. So far, so good. I finally let out my breath in a deep exhale when the nightmare slipped out of view, but I was more aware of my surroundings after that. It took us the rest of the day to reach the foothills of the Sunrise Mountains, and my companions were beyond exhausted when I finally called for a halt. Una slid from her mount's back and landed in a puddle on the ground, and she wrinkled her nose at me.
"Smells like giant drool."
I narrowed my eyes and scrutinized the puddle she'd jumped into, and then my gaze swept across the ground to a crater in the dirt nearby. It certainly resembled the giant tracks we'd followed into the mountains, so her theory held water. "I'm sorry," I said with a sympathetic smile. "Should we keep going until we find some water to clean you off in?"
"That isn't necessary."
Una shook her head.
"We will be home soon, and then I can bathe in the stream."
"It'll be nice once we set up hot showers," I said, and I flashed the cat girl a sideways smirk. "It'll really feel like home then." We made a camp in the foothills of the Sunrise Mountains, but we finished our journey to the caves of New Haven early the next morning. The others rushed out to the mouth-like opening to greet us, so I knew we'd been spotted by the sentries. Miss Maggie and her daughter were among the group of animal people jostling to say hello to the returning adventurers. But I made sure to thank the Frisian I'd ridden for his efforts before I crossed the distance to the pig lady and her offspring. "Good morning," I grinned. "Any news?"
"All was calm in your absence,"
Miss Maggie reported in a pleasant tone.
"Although your presence was still missed around the bonfire. How was your quest?"
"Alex helped us get every single ingredient we needed,"
Una blurted out, and she rushed forward to squeeze the pig lady into a warm embrace before she did the same to the younger pig girl while she rambled on.
"We talked to a really, really old tree for hours, and then he finally spit into one of our empty bottles."
We all chuckled in amusement at the excitable cat girl, and I gestured to the opening of the cave as I moved toward the interior, while Una continued to talk.
"Oh! And we also went to where the fish fly above the backwards stream. I'd heard stories about it, but I'd never been there before, and now I get to tell my father I've seen it with my own eyes! Where's Dr. Kriya?"
"What else happened on your travels?"
Miss Maggie pressed when Una paused to breathe. "That about covers it, besides the talking frog we took a spot from."
"The dreamer and his companions have been very busy, it seems,"
Dr. Kriya observed with a wry smile, as she walked up the ramp to meet us.
"I take it you were successful?" "Very much so,"
Una said with an energetic nod.
"We have all the ingredients for the Heal Others potion now." "All we need is Livia,"
Dr. Kriya said, and then she sighed as she tucked her hair behind her mousy ears.
"I do hope she is okay."
"They wouldn't hurt someone so powerful, would they?" I asked, as a worried knot settled into my stomach. What if all this effort was for nothing?
"I don't think so,"
Miss Maggie shook her head.
"Livia was the last potion maker in all the land, so they'll want to keep her alive. We aren't the only ones who want to get our hands on more potions, you know. The Dark King has been funneling every potion in the land towards his Black Palace for a long time now, making them more and more rare by the day.
We are fortunate you managed to acquire so many,
Dr. Kriya said with a dip of her head.
There hasn't been that many potions around in a very long time. I just wish it was a simpler process to identify them.
Glad to be of service, I said, but then I gestured to May. But I wasn't alone, so I can't take all the credit.
It was an honor to assist the dreamer,
May assured me, as she tipped her hat respectfully.
Even if I didn't know you were the dreamer at the time.
We all walked down the ramp into the heart of the mountain peak, and I paused to warm my hands on the roaring flames of the bonfire. The others gathered around me with expectant expressions, and I furrowed my brow as I thought about what needed to be done next. We had to rescue the potion maker from imprisonment, but that was going to be a challenge in and of itself. Livia was held captive in the Clover Fortress, and I had no idea how difficult it would be to penetrate the defenses. Una had escaped the cells with the assistance of an agility potion, so maybe she knew a way to get back inside undetected. At the same time, we were all still living a nomadic lifestyle in the cave, so living structures were a high priority as well. I wanted to make sure the animal people I now considered my responsibility were well taken care of before I embarked on a life-or-death mission. There was no telling if I'd return from the Clover Fortress, but I wanted to make sure everyone was okay either way. I cleared my throat, but everyone was still staring attentively at me, so I flashed them all my most charming smile. Ahem! Why don't we make New Haven livable before we plan the prison break for Livia? I suggested in a cautious tone. We want to have some place for her to live when we get back, after all, and I'm not sure if a tent is much of an upgrade from a prison cell.
None of us have homes right now,
Miss Maggie agreed, as she planted her hands on her hips and surveyed the cavernous hollow mountain.
We should focus on our own needs before we expend energy saving others.
Every day Livia remains a prisoner is another day closer to her death. We cannot wait forever. She will eventually be taken to the Dark King.
How do we even know if she's still there? We need more information.
She was alive and well when I escaped. There would be a large procession of cards if they were to take her to the Black Palace. Word would sweep all across all the land.
We should send the bird people to scout it out first. Once we get a confirmation that she is still there and some more information about the defenses on the fortress, then we can plan our attack.
Let's take the fight to the Queen of Clover's doorstep,
May suggested as she shook her fist in the air.
No time to spare.
I like your enthusiasm. I will definitely include you in all stages of the plan, May. And anyone else who would like to help as well.
I will spread the word and send out scouts to the fortress.
Thank you. I'm going to work on building Una and me a place to live while we wait for the scouts to return. Do we have any tools, like axes, hammers, nails, that sort of thing?
I believe they are in with the weapons stash,
Dr. Kriya mused as she tapped a finger against her chin.
I will locate the items you require, but a lot of the work has already been done. I know Isabel and Hallie felled a lot of timber for everyone to use.
Awesome, I grinned. You ladies are definitely some of the hardest working people I've ever known. It is an honor to assist you in building a dope-ass home. The women all chuckled at my lingo, and then we separated to go about our various tasks. After I got the tools I needed to build a house, I began to gather the materials. Dr. Kriya was correct. The beaver woman had already chopped down some smaller trees, cut them into sections, and laid them out in rows. Una and I lashed them together with rope, and then with the help of a couple bear women who'd walked by at the perfect time, we all lifted the entire thing up into the limbs of a tree. With teamwork, muscle power, and determination, we placed the floor of our treehouse down in a mostly flat position. But then it was time to take a break. Una and I checked in on the others to see if they needed any help, and I found everyone to be hard at work with their own dwellings. May was building something resembling a nest high in the boughs of a palm tree, but I wasn't sure how she'd gotten up there without wings. Lena and Zidi had decided to become roommates, and the two shared a tiny alcove in a hollow evergreen. Miss Maggie was creating a semi-subterranean dwelling, so she was digging into the soft, moist dirt first, while her daughter scurried around hauling baskets of earth to a pile and back again. Dr. Kriya had merged together several tents into a larger canopy, but she was bustling between beds and couldn't stop to chat. We waved at her before we moved on to see what the other residents of New Haven were up to, but the need for a medical center rose in my priorities. I'd have to gather some volunteers to complete it quickly, but there was no shortage of help lately. Everyone wanted to say they'd assisted the dreamer in some way, and the many hands made every task easier. Then Una and I visited the Beaver Women, where they were creating a dam in the stream, and I verified that they wouldn't allow the pool to overtake too much of the space around us. The last thing we needed was for our new town to be flooded, but the Beaver Women were confident they were in complete control of the water. Plus, damming the stream would create a pool big enough to swim in, and that would benefit everybody. I checked in with the watch shift, and I stopped to chat with Shelley, the bear woman. She was quickly becoming a familiar face between the training sessions and the task of guarding our town, but I was more than happy to have the volunteers. She seemed mostly humanoid, with large round ears jutting from curly brown hair, but her hands were shaped like bear claws. She was muscular in the shoulders, her back curved slightly, and a stubby tail stuck out from a hole in her tunic. "How goes it?" I asked, after I'd given her a friendly wave.
"All's well,"
Shelley reported, and joy brightened her eyes.
"It is a pleasure to see you, Dreamer."
"You too." I made small talk for a little while longer, but then I politely bade goodbye to the large bear woman, and we continued our trek around our new home. After we took a tour of the cavern, we returned to the beginnings of our treehouse home, and Una and I worked the rest of the day together. It was late afternoon when a family of squirrel people came over to help us with the roof. Then the bear women joined us in the task, followed by the beaver people. May finished with her nest and added her hands to the heavy lifting, and a short while later, our house was completed. I dusted off my hands and placed them on my hips as I surveyed the treehouse we'd all just created together, and I had to admit it looked like a cozy home for Una and I. The cat girl wasted no time in bringing her possessions inside, and soon the space was filled with her trinkets and belongings.
"I'm sorry you don't have many items, Alex,"
Una said with a soft smile.
"I feel like I've taken over our home with all my things."
"Nonsense," I reassured her, and I tossed my arm around her shoulders as we gazed up at the little cabin nestled in the branches. "It's our home, and I'll gather stuff throughout our adventures. Besides, I have you. What else would I need?" This earned me a wide, shit-eating grin from the beautiful cat girl, and then we locked our fingers together as we turned to the others. "How about we get some grub? Then we can celebrate our accomplishments with some giggle juice."
"The town is coming along quite nicely,"
May observed, as we crossed the distance to the bonfire.
"It is almost time for our next adventure."
"You are quite right." I tilted my head to the dodo woman. "We'll check in with the scouts after dinner."
"I can't wait until my father and Livia see New Haven,"
Una gushed as she skipped along beside me.
"Havenwood was built so long ago. I'm surprised anyone knew how to make houses anymore. How are we going to make the rain house, Alex?"
"I don't know," I frowned. "I'm not sure how it was built in the first place, so I have no idea how to go about replicating it here. Maybe we should return to Havenwood to do some research on the rain house and the kitchen."
"Someday, when the Dreamer has triumphed against the Dark King, all the land will be safe from the darkness, and we can return to Havenwood. Until that day comes, we must keep our eyes peeled like boiled eggs."
We joined the rest of the residents of New Haven around the bonfire, and a light dinner of salad and vegetables was shared by all. After everyone had their fill, Una, May, and I were relaxing on the soft grass beneath the trees, and I gazed around with contentment at the progress made in a single day.
"New Haven is safe,"
Dr. Crea said as she approached the three of us with a soft smile.
"You have much to be proud of, Dreamer."
"My job is far from done," I countered with a smirk. "I still need to save the captives of the Clover Queen."
"That is a task for tomorrow,"
the mouse-eared doctor replied, as she situated herself on the grass nearby.
"But the scouts have returned from the Clover Fortress."
"Oh?" I raised my eyebrows. I'd assumed they would come find me as soon as the bird people had returned to New Haven, but I supposed I'd been pretty busy for the majority of the day.
"They are ready to report their findings. I told them to get some rest, and then we would discuss the details in the morning."
"The sooner we leave, the better," I said as I raked my fingers through my hair. "How many are willing to aid in our fight?"
"I have counted 20 volunteers. They have all been present at multiple training sessions, so I have confidence in their ability to at least defend themselves.
All good news. I worked the muscle in my jaw. We will leave for the Clover Fortress tomorrow, as soon as we get everything ready.
Oh, Alex!
Una clapped her hands together with excitement.
We can finally get the Heal Other potion made and save all the land! Thank you, thank you, thank you!
Hold your thanks until I defeat the Dark King. Saving your friends from prison is the least I could do. Una and I slept in our new bed for the first time that night, and I got the best sleep of my life with the cuddly cat girl snuggled into my arms. I awoke shortly before dawn feeling well rested, if the pale hues through the open cone were any indication, and I stretched my arms over my head as I yawned. The sleeping cat girl by my side wiggled closer against me, and I chuckled as I nudged her awake. "Good morning, beautiful," I murmured in a sing-song voice. "Today is the day we launch a prison break." Una's eyes popped open, and she grinned up at me.
"I'm awake."
The two of us ate a quick breakfast as the volunteers began to gather around the bonfire, but I waited to address the crowd until May arrived with the bird people scouts. Then I pushed myself up from the ground and dusted off my pants. "What can you tell me about the Clover Fortress?" I asked the scouts.
"The castle is heavily guarded by both nightmares and cards,"
a stork woman informed me in a solemn voice.
"There is only one visible way to enter or exit."
"That's not true,"
Una interjected with a shake of her head.
"I escaped through the back way."
"There's a back way?" I arched an eyebrow. "That sounds promising."
"I went through the sewer system when I escaped. We could find our way back in the same way."
"Perfect," I nodded, but then I turned back to the scouts. "Did you get confirmation Livia is still among the prisoners?"
"They walk the captives in the courtyard once a day,"
a raven lady said with a nod of her bird head.
"We saw Livia among them. She seems to be well."
"That is wonderful news."
Una clapped her hands as she bounced up and down on the balls of her feet.
"There's still time." "That's not all,"
an owl woman said, and her large eyes were wide and unblinking.
"They were preparing a transport caravan. We overheard the cards discussing how they are going to be moving the prisoners to the Black Palace before the next moon."
"That doesn't give us long,"
May mused as she puffed on her long-stemmed pipe. "How long?" I asked the group at large. I wasn't familiar with the pattern of the moon in this strange dream world, but it had seemed like the moon had been full not that long ago. The tulips only opened beneath the light of the complete neon green orb, and I tried to tally up the days that had passed since I had been stung by the bat bee.
"Several days, but not much more than that,"
Dr. Kriya supplied.
"It will take a day to reach the fortress,"
Miss Maggie lamented as she threw her hands in the air.
"We have already failed."
"Not necessarily," I said, as I flashed the pig chef a confident smile. "We can still do this, Mags. Have faith in the dreamer."
"You only have 20 women in your army,"
Miss Maggie argued, and she crossed her arms over her chest.
"It is a suicide mission."
"May will help us train one more time before we leave," I assured the anxious pig lady.
"It's not like you're going with us,"
Una interjected with a stubborn lift of her chin.
"That is precisely why I worry."
"You don't have to worry about us. We have Alex,"
Una insisted, and the cat girl's tail stiffened behind her as her violet eyes lit up with determination. "Ladies," I said in a loud voice, and I held up my hands to silence their bickering. "Everything is going to be just fine, I promise. We've been practicing and preparing for this moment since I first came to All the Land. We're ready. I can feel it."
"Dreamer! Dreamer! Dreamer!"
The gathered crowd of animal people volunteers began to chant as they pumped their fists into the air. Miss Maggie's lips stretched into a sideways smile as she considered my mini army, but after a moment, her shoulders sagged in surrender.
"I suppose if anyone can do it, it's you."
"That's the spirit." I clapped her on the shoulder and flashed her a broad grin. "But you're more than welcome to come with us if you want to."
"I must stay with my daughter,"
Maggie replied with a self-conscious dip of her head.
"If it weren't for her, then..."
"I know, Mags. Your bravery is not in question." We had one final training session with all the animal people who wanted to participate in the prison break, and I focused on training in stealth maneuvers. Most of what I knew I'd learned from video games, so it was nice to receive positive feedback from May about my creeping and sneaking movements. After an hour or so of us working beneath the Dodo woman's tutelage, we packed for our voyage across all the land to the Clover Fortress. A knot began to form in my stomach as I considered what I was about to do, but I pushed all my anxious thoughts to the side as I met back up with the group at the mouth of the caves. "Everyone ready?" I asked as I surveyed my motley group of animal people. I had 3 bears, 2 beavers, a handful of squirrels, and the rest were birds, but it was more than I'd had during my first encounter with the Clover cards, so I felt good about our chances. Worst case scenario, we all died. No big deal. The rest of the residents of New Haven waved us off with solemn expressions, and I could tell they were all worried for our safety, but it had to be done. Zeedy met us at the mouth of the cavern with the herd of 10 Frisians behind her, but even with the entire herd present, there weren't enough mounts for my entire mini army. Still, we could cover more ground on horseback, even if we had to swap out turns as we went.
"The Frisians would like to help."
"Thank you, Zeedy," I said with a grateful smile. "I'll take all the help I can get."
"I'm coming with you too,"
the Furbay informed me in a determined voice. "No, Zeedy," I argued with a shake of my head. "It's too dangerous for you. I need you to stay and watch over the others."
"I can help. Even if I'm small, that doesn't mean I can't do big things."
The adorable ball of fur had a point. She'd come in handy more than once. So I sighed as I scooped her up and placed her on my shoulder. Zeedy snuggled into my tunic happily, and I chuckled in amusement. "Spoiled Furbay," I muttered as I moved to mount one of the Frisians.
"Oh, your mount says he is strong enough to carry more than one,"
Zeedy added almost as an afterthought.
"Maybe that way everyone will be able to ride."
I grinned as I beckoned to Una. There was no one else whose ass I'd rather have pressed up against me, and she was situated in front of me a moment later. Lena clung to my shoulders, and Zeedy hopped into her usual position as well. The buff bear women all climbed aboard mounts of their own, and the other animals scurried into positions behind them. Everyone doubled up on the steeds, and then we were ready to depart on our quest.
"All right, everyone!"
I called out as I pumped my fist in the air.
"Roll out!"
We traveled through the mountains and through precarious terrain, but it was worth it to avoid the dangers of the forest below the slopes. The scouts had informed me that the nightmares grew more and more numerous with each passing day, and I wondered if the Dark King had heard of my coming. How fast did information travel across all the land? In any case, the Dark King and all of his minions would be entirely aware of my presence soon enough. There was no way I'd be able to break their captives free from imprisonment without getting some attention, but I didn't care. It would be worth it to heal all those suffering from the opposition effects, like Una's dad. The cat girl hadn't brought up her dad in conversation for a while, but I was sure she was eager to see him again. As we rode through the mountains, I began to mentally prepare myself for the introduction to the frisky feline's father, but I wasn't too worried about his reaction to me. I'd be there to save him and the other captives, so I was sure to make a good first impression.
"Hark the deceiver's arrival,"
May sang suddenly, and her sweet soprano voice cut through the silence.
"Forsaken day breaks through the morning trees."
The others all instantly sang back at the Dodo woman, like they'd been practicing for this moment already.
"Dreamer, awaken,"
May continued, and then everyone sang the next line in unison.
"Crooked man of fate awaits thee on the stormy breeze."
They all sang the rest of the song, and I listened attentively to every word. The whole thing went a little something like this.
"Hark the deceiver's arrival, forsaken day breaks through morning trees. Dreamer, awaken, crooked man of fate awaits thee on the stormy breeze. Shadows, go forth, expunge the vibrancy of the land. Dreamer, awaken, save the people of all the land. From a distant world to us unknown, the dreamer one day shall be born. The dreamer's speech always so strange, and his bravery without challenge, immune to opposition's might, no matter what, he will be right. Shadows, despair, the dreamer draws near. Come, a weary dreamer, to thee all the land. Come hither, our dreamer, to these legions you command."
Then everyone began to belt out the chorus, and a shiver ran up my spine.
Do you hear us call out? Will you save us from the fallout? Come forth, dreamer, come forth. Come north, dreamer, come north. Go forth, dreamer, go forth. Defeat the darkness in the north. Come hither, fair dreamer, and plant your seed.
What song is that? I asked when they fell silent again.
The prophecy song,
Una explained as she shrugged her shoulders.
I've told you about it many times.
I didn't realize the prophecy was a song everyone knew, I said with an odd shake of my head. Why haven't you sung it before?
It's mainly a traveling song,
May interjected.
And we haven't been traveling for very long.
Plus, it's a hopeful song, and there hasn't been much hope to go around until you arrived.
The Furbe's words struck a chord in my heart, and determination sizzled in my veins. Shadow's despair, I muttered as I glared ahead toward the Clover Fortress. The dreamer draws near. The horse-like creature beneath bunched its muscles as it traversed some rugged terrain, and I had to focus on gripping its sides with my legs for a moment. When I looked around, I realized we were coming to the end of the mountain range, and the ground was beginning to level out once more. We were walking down the side of a steep slope, but the way below was clear and unobstructed. I could see for a good distance, so I scanned the landscape for any signs of the Clover Fortress. I didn't see any castles, but I did spot a road made of black paving stones far below us at the bottom of the mountain. The lane cut across the landscape like a blade's edge, and I wondered how long it had been there. What is that? I asked as I pointed to the black line across the landscape.
The King's Road,
May said in an ominous tone.
The Clover Fortress lies on the other side of it.
I've never crossed the King's Road before,
Zeedee squeaked in my ear, and I could feel her shivering on my shoulder.
It's scary to walk on something the Dark King built. It's so black.
Is he an emo punk or something? He sure has a thing for black. I wonder if he listens to those whiny screaming bands.
Screaming and music are not the same thing,
Una said with a confused tilt of her head.
Exactly.
We finished our descent from the heights of the mountain range into the rolling foothills below, but it only took us a short while longer to reach the King's Road. The Frisians nickered and tossed their heads as we drew near, and they danced around the edge in such a way that I could tell they weren't stepping foot on the black paving stones. This was where we said our goodbyes to the loyal mounts who had carried us through the mountains. My companions and I dismounted, gave the Frisians lots of pets, and waved goodbye as the horse-like creatures trotted back to their secret field of clover. Then my small army and I turned toward the King's Road with determined steps. I wasn't going to let some black bricks throw me off. Besides, the Clover Fortress was on the other side, so all we had to do was cross it. We moved forward on foot, but I could feel the eyes of my followers watching my every move. I couldn't show any signs of fear or weakness. I had to be a good example for them. I marched across the King's Road with my shoulders squared and my head held high, and everyone followed after me with hurried steps. Then we pressed onward into the bleak, bare landscape. The terrain was completely monochrome on this side of the road, and I assumed nightmares were running rampant. As far as the eye could see, there was nothing but the emptiness of the land. It seemed as though the light was leached from the very sky the instant we crossed the King's Road, and twisted shadows from the clouds above danced across the ground. Is this what all the land would look like if the Dark King wasn't stopped? I had to do something to save this magical dream world from the big bad emo guy, but I didn't even know where to start on such a large task, so I refocused on the current mission. Then, the Clover Fortress came into view.